Today's reading is in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Matthew 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Jesus has come with his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, which is directly north of the Sea of Galilee, which would be east of Tyre. And so he begins to have this discussion with his disciples. He asks a question, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" He's referring to himself. And I don't think that he actually needs them to tell him what people say, but there was the intention for this discussion to see what the disciples would say, and then the follow-up question of "Who do you say that I am?" would reveal their own understanding and their own thoughts. So when he asks, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" it gets a wide variety of answers. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. I wonder if people saying that he was one of those, that they were placing an importance on Jesus based on maybe one of the prophets that they look up to, that they liked the most. So in other words, if they were a big fan of Jeremiah, then maybe that's who they would say Jesus was, that sort of thing. Because honestly, I don't really know why, other than saying Elijah, they would attribute any of these to Jesus. John the Baptist has been killed. Elijah's long gone. All the other prophets are long gone. The only point of Elijah being the prophecy of the spirit of Elijah coming, but that was John the Baptist. So then when he turns around and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." They're not talking about identity, where you meet somebody and you introduce yourself and you tell them your first and last name. He's talking about the Christ as in the promised Messiah, the role of the Christ, the Son of the living God, the power of the Christ. Peter makes this confession, and I have been known to make the statement that sometimes Peter is quick to speak, but I think that he is speaking the things that other disciples would say as well. They're just a little more reserved. So I'll give the same credit here. I think the other disciples would make this confession that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Christ. But Peter's the first one to speak up. And Jesus tells him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona." So here he uses a proper name, and then verse 18, he uses Peter. And so there's a distinction that Jesus draws. Blessed are you. You're the one that made that confession. Flesh and blood didn't tell you this. In other words, you couldn't look at Jesus and make this determination. You had to understand it based on spiritual concepts, those things that God has promised. So verse 18, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And we know that there are some that have misused this to try to have the idea of the Pope or Peter being the first Pope, that kind of an idea. But that's not what Jesus is doing. He's talking about the faith and confession of Peter. And that's the basis, the truth of who Jesus is going to be the basis for the church, because he is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone in which the foundation would be laid, and then we are the church, we are the structure that is built upon that foundation. So because this truth was arrived at through those spiritual means, because the Father in heaven has revealed it, then that is what will be the basis for building the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not something that any other force would have enough power to tear it down or remove it or destroy it. They cannot prevail, though they might come against it, they cannot prevail against it. And so I will give you the keys of kingdom and of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. And that promise is made to all those disciples that would become his apostles. He wasn't giving the apostles the authority to make decisions and set rules and that sort of stuff on their own. He's giving them the authority to set those rules in place as God decrees. So it's a little bit of an unfortunate translation. Some Bibles have started putting a footnote in their section based on this verse to point out that it really, the translation could be shall have been bound, shall have been loosed. So the things that are being bound and loosened are things that are already done, things that are already decided on, things that are already decreed according to the authority of God and not the authority of man. And then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. That was in order to fulfill the will of God, the plan of God for the salvation of man. Think about this confession today of Peter, and think about your own confession. Do we hide Jesus, or do we proclaim Jesus? That's something we need to think about today. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.